Good afternoon, Friday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Kara Hart, along with Randy Conan and Megan Turnquist. World Weather Incorporated senior agricultural meteorologist Drew Lerner says the Midwest will have some opportunity to get planting done in the next 2 weeks.
I think we need to take full advantage of it while we can, because I'm not convinced that we're going to see the break last for very long. I think that we will see colder air coming back across the prairies of Canada, as well as the northern plains, and some of that will push down into the upper parts of the Midwest. So we'll be introducing, again, additional opportunities for some rain in the heart of the corn and soybean producing areas.
Lerner thinks the northern plains will also have an opportunity to get some field work done in the next couple of weeks, especially out west.
One of the concerns I do have, though, when we do get into a more significant warm-up, which is just around the corner, we'll start seeing this late this weekend and on into next week, is that when we bring it warmer, we're also going to bring the jet stream back to the north a little bit for a while, and that's going to bring opportunity for precipitation back across some of these areas. So in the west, it might not be a big deal because they're not quite as wet as we are in the eastern Dakotas and parts of Minnesota. But nevertheless, we would like it to stay dry and turn warmer rather than have it get a little bit on the wetter side while we warm up. So we're going to have to give and take a little bit here.
Dakota Agronomy Partners Newburgh location manager Shane Lester says north central North Dakota could use a couple of weeks of drying weather.
I think we're going to need some sunshine and heat to get some of these fields dried out so that they can actually get into them. I've heard guys out with ATVs and not even sure they're going to be able to get out of the fields once they get into them.
And because it's been wet and cold, Lester says a seed treatment may be beneficial this spring.
Especially in the small grains. You know, we took off a crop last year that was pretty poor quality, some of it, and in some cases people thought they'd save some of it for seed. And one of the things we learned this winter is that you may have lost germination over the winter, even though it tested fine last fall. And so, you know, I'd like to ask people that did test their germination the last fall probably should retest it before they put the seed in the ground, and then certainly follow it up with some seed treatment. You know, I think because of the quality, again, we're going to need every bit of help that we can give it to get it out of the ground.
Farmers in southern Minnesota are starting to put that 2020 crop in the ground. University of Minnesota Extension crops educator Jared Goplin says both wheat and corn have been planted in the Morris area.
Really, it's the first time we've been able to get wheat or other small grains in the ground before May. And a lot of guys are excited about that. Guys with just corn and soybeans, they're getting excited as well. I know there has been a little bit of corn that went in the ground. At least one of our neighbors did yesterday. Certainly soil temps are still quite cold. I was just out, checked some, and they're still right around freezing. You know, we were down into the 20s last night, but we do have a pretty good forecast, and looks like we'll have some sunny weather and looking to warm up. I think a lot of planters will be rolling. The field conditions are pretty good for the most part, better than they have been for the last couple of years. I think a lot of guys are excited to get out in the field, especially given all the stuff going on right now.
When deciding between planting or not planting, Goplin's recommendation is to take soil temperatures and the forecast into consideration.
I think, at least in this area, a lot of guys learned some lessons last year. You know, we had a lot of very poor conditions at planting time. We got to be into mid to late May, and guys were really into conditions that they shouldn't have been. And I think a lot of those situations, you know, people realize that. So I think guys this year are going to be a little more cautious in terms of getting into fields before they're fit, making sure that they're not, you know, in those muddy conditions, and also looking at that forecast and looking at that rainfall and temperature forecast, just to make sure we're not going to end up with some stand issues, which certainly was the case last year.
Seasonally, corn prices tend to bottom out in late April before heading into their pre-harvest highs. Total Farm Marketing Senior Market Advisor Naomi Bloom says we're not quite at those lows yet.
A lot of times the spring low will come at the end of April into early May. It's partly when we maybe would see a planting delay emerge, but also that's when the May contract is in the process of going off the board. So we have first notice day and then the last trading day for the May contract at the end of the month, heading into early to mid May, And then we'll see if we get any friendly news out of the May USDA report.
Blum says there are indicators to know when the low is in.
I think it's a combination of a few things. Of course, the seasonals, but also looking at daily charts, weekly charts, monthly charts, looking to see where some major support lies. And then also, usually there's a piece of fundamental news that will correlate with a technical reason for the market to make a bottoming signal, like a bullish key reversal or something like that we might see on the chart to finally give us a little bit more confidence that, hey, at least we're going to, you know, be done going down and get some sort of a summer rally to start.
Opening the economy is big for the corn and oil market. Zahner Group Ag Hedge Lead Ted Seifertz is getting people back driving again is huge for ethanol.
If we can do that, and it looks like, you know, under the guidelines that were released yesterday, there's going to be some states that will be able to or be eligible to reopen in the really near future. Other states, it's going to take at least 2 months to get to phase two, for example. But at least some of that looks like it could be happening sooner than later. So that's better than what we were looking at this time last week. And so there's a little bit of optimism there.
The crude oil set new lows this morning in the front months. The back months stayed strong, however.
You've got different set of fundamentals happening in the crude oil right now because we know that we're not opening the country in a day, and we know that we've got huge stockpiles building up. We know we've seen a significant loss in demand. And crude oil right now, there's really no reason to rally the front month. But the optimism that we have a few months out, if you look at the August crude oil, that chart looks significantly different, and it looks like it wants to maybe at least try to find some strength to the upside. So it's an interesting market to be watching. Spreads in particular for crude oil have been really very interesting because, again, it's kind of like trading old crop, new crop crude oil right now.
Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Friday Farm News here on the Red River Farm Network. The Renewable Fuels Association sent a letter to EPA Administrator Andrew Wheeler today, responding to RFS waiver requests from five state governors. In the letter, RFA CEO Jeff Cooper reminds the EPA that a waiver may only be granted if petitioners can show economic harm is severe in nature and a direct result of the RFS. Cooper also says the same harms noted by governors have been experienced by ethanol producers across rural America in the last 6 weeks.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention did a walkthrough of the Smithfield Foods plant in Sioux Falls, South Dakota on Thursday. South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem says the plant was proactive in implementing CDC recommendations.
They're going to continue to enforce and put in place some infection control training, make sure that they have the protective personal equipment that they need in order to ensure that the employees are ready to get back to work when it's time. And we'll look forward to releasing that report to you at the beginning of next week. In the coming days, we'll be working as well with them to develop a series of measures that the plant can take in order to safely reopen. And this work will involve the CDC, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, the Secretary of Agriculture, Sonny Perdue, and the South Dakota Department of Health, and the City of Sioux Falls.
Minnesota Agriculture Commissioner Tom Peterson says Minnesota's hog market is in a tough situation.
Few of our hogs in Minnesota go to Smithfield, and so we're trying to find homes for other of those hogs on the line at other plants, but that's really challenging as other plants cut down. But we're only able to slaughter so many at local plants. And
Peterson said farmers are holding on to those market-ready hogs longer, but more homes are needed for those animals. Plants do keep running, or keeping the plants running will be the key.
As you see around the Midwest, it's not just Smithfield. We have other companies' plants going down and workers getting sick. And the more we can keep those plants healthy and running and get Smithfield back up running, but if we continue to have more and more plants go down, we're going to be in a perilous situation.
Minnesota House Agriculture and Food Finance and Policy Division Chair Gene Poppe says Hormel Foods in southern Minnesota is doing what they can to minimize the coronavirus exposure for workers.
Maximizing protective gear. They're all in the market to try to get some things done right now, and that also has been somewhat delayed at different points, but I know they're working to make sure that their employees can be safe and that they can continue to run the lines and bring in the animals and be able to process them.
Norwood Sales, an agricultural products company based in Horace, North Dakota, says 9 employees tested positive for the coronavirus. The plant is disinfected each day, and the company is telling its employees to practice social distancing.
Rural communities may lack the resources to respond to coronavirus challenges. According to an analysis from the Pew Charitable Trust, this could be because of shrinking populations. Rural population losses can break down the workforce and productivity of a region, as well as tax revenue available to fund health care programs.
A group of House and Senate Democrats are asking Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue to develop a rural coronavirus task force. The task force would help identify rural challenges, strategies, and policy recommendations, and consult with the department and congressional committee to provide oversight for funding distribution. The lawmakers say people living in rural America are less equipped to handle the coronavirus due in part to a lack of medical equipment.
The Minnesota Corn Growers Association launched a new COVID-19 resource page on their website. Minnesota Corn Growers Association Public Affairs Manager Brent Renicke says the goal for this page is to be a one-stop shop for farmers who have questions and concerns about the coronavirus.
You kind of get bombarded with a lot of links and resources, and you know, a lot of it is, you know, really helpful and stuff that, you know, farmers really need to see. And we just want to really provide something that farmers can, you know, go to one link and see it all there and kind of pick and choose what might be best and most helpful to them.
Renicke says the page is for farmers who are looking for fact-based information. Reporting Agriculture's Business, this is the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture. Let's catch up with Ag Week reporter Mikkel Pates. Mikkel, what do you have for us on the curve of Ag Week for next week?
This is a story about seed. A person, Garth Kruger, a farmer from up at Warren, Minnesota, has a company that usually analyzes matters for health care and other kinds of government programs. And he was trained that way, but he, as a farmer now, has become focused on seeds, and so he's using this to help develop databases that he's been working on for a couple of years to compare various seed varieties and public or third-party testing to give farmers an insight into corn, soybeans, and wheat variety results from across the upper Midwest.
So he's just basically gathering all the information and doing the data analysis then?
Yeah, and he crunches numbers for various kinds of particulars like iron chlorosis issues in soybeans. Then you'll be interested in how they compare that way. And he's collects seed tags and cross-references, so a lot of seeds that are labeled for different varieties for different companies have the same source, and so you get a chance to compare things that may not apparently be the same thing. They might actually be the same thing just from different companies. You know, it's kind of like I say, you know, sometimes statistics involve a seed selection. It'd be good to have a PhD to compare them, and here's a guy with a PhD that can compare them.
Sounds interesting, Mikkel. Looking forward to reading about it next week's Ag Week.
Taking a look at the markets, May Minneapolis wheat up a quarter at 506.5. May Chicago wheat up 3.75 at 533.5. May Kansas City wheat up 7.25. May corn up 2.75 at 322.5. December corn up 2 at 343. May beans down 3.75 at 833. November beans down 3.25 at 851.25. June live cattle down 10 cents at 86.37. May feeder cattle up $1.27 at 119.75. May lean hogs up $1.10 at 38.42. Taking a quick look at the farm calendar, we've got some webinars coming up. Next Tuesday, NDSU Extension will host a grazing cover crop series webinar. Check out a few more here on the Red River Farm Network website. That can be found rrfn.com. This is the Red River Farm Network.